are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio Channel 1. To call in, dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
LATalkRadio.com, world's most listened to internet talk radio station. I'm your host, Davey Crockett, and this is Dave's Good Vibration Station, the show where we talk about anything and everything to raise your vibration. Boy, oh boy, do we have a show for you today. We are so blessed to have the one and only Paula Genon with us in the studio. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
It is such a blessing.
I've never had an intro like that. So my vibration is up, and it's needed on Sunday.
It is beautiful.
Thank you for that intro.
Well, it is so true. Such a blessing. Such a pleasure in the studio. If you guys haven't already checked her out, don't get left in the dust.
No, actually, it's not that anymore.
Oh, well, Second Act Boomers.
Boomer, yeah.
Right, right. Also formerly known as Don't Get Left in the Dust. I'm so sorry. You're absolutely right. Second Act Boomers, formerly known as Don't Get Left in the Dust. For the listeners that are just tuning in with us, Second Act Boomers are fulfilling lifelong dreams by reinventing themselves and or tweaking their careers due to life-changing experiences by becoming successful entrepreneurs. Thank you, Paula.
You are welcome.
That's why we're here. That's
now,
part of why
we're here.
Now,
you probably ask why I changed it from Don't Get Left in the Dust.
I was going to ask. I'm curious. Yeah.
Well, you know, Don't Get Left in the Dust, sometimes when you start a show, I think you know this, when you're in creativity, it's always evolving.
Right, it
so
is.
So something that pops in and it keeps changing and forming, whether it's a script or a sculpture. And Don't Get Left in the Dust was great. When I ask people, it's kind of like, okay, what does that really mean? Because,
right,
you know, when you want a show, you want the title to align with what you're doing.
Of course.
And being a baby boomer, I was reaching out primarily to baby boomers because of what I was going through.
Right.
So I was trying to create a digital to entertain, educate, inform those baby boomers like myself going through a very life-changing experience. You know, they're getting laid off,
right,
or whatever. You know,
right,
the digital age, the technology, and then the economy, just the rug pulled completely out from under them. So it's like, now what do I do?
Right. Exactly.
Now, and after I talked to a couple of people, and I've been doing it for over 2 years,
wow,
started to talk to them, and there's a lot of sudden, all of a sudden, a lot of newspaper articles came in and they called it Second Act and Baby Boomers. And I thought, you know, this is our second act. This is the second half of our lives.
I like that.
So it's Second Act Boomers, turning your passions into a successful life and career.
I love that.
You know, because what they're doing is turning their passions, they're reinventing. So it's reinventing and adaptation, adapting.
Right.
So reinventing is, okay, now I have, what can I do? They're looking at a passion they had.
Right.
And I relate to people who used to work for somebody for 30 years.
Right.
So all of a sudden, now you're thinking about, okay, I'm going to work for myself. Whoa, what the hell am I going to do?
180. Yeah. That's, yeah.
No, because your mind is like, no, I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Right.
And
of
most
course.
Of them don't. But because they've been working in corporate, like I said, due to changes, or maybe they're just kind of tired, they want to see what they have and get back into it. And even if you leave it and then try to get back in, it's hard to get back in where you're at a certain age.
Absolutely.
You know. So
absolutely.
You know, entrepreneurship is an interesting thing because people say, well, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
So when you came on the show for your great listeners out there, Dave came on my show when it was Don't Get Left in the Dust.
That's
he blew
true.
Everybody out. We had a lot of fun.
We had a lot of fun.
And it's been about probably March when you came on.
Yeah, that was. That was.
March.
Oh.
So I asked you what entrepreneurship. So I'm going to ask you that question, even though you're the host.
No, I love it. Please, I love it. I love it.
So let's get into that just real quickly. What do you think that is?
Okay, entrepreneurship. Well, I would say that entrepreneurship, okay, I know that there's, what's that? There's so many, you know, different ways to like kind of explain it, but I know that there's one definition and I feel like I'm going to butcher it. Entrepreneurship, when you are self-sufficient in starting your own means of support, I guess what I'm saying is like, if you want to do something, you create it yourself, you make it yourself, and you get people to love it because of everything that you have created. And then, I mean, getting people to love it isn't part of the definition of entrepreneurship.
It's part of Dave's definition.
It's part of my definition.
Which is not bad.
But that's what I would have to say.
That's a good, pretty good. No, that's pretty much, basically, most people think of it as the business where you start your own business,
right.
You have your passion. It's something that you love.
Right.
Because the thing that needs to be reached out, and what I try to say, is that you have to. Napoleon Hill wrote a book. Think and Grow Rich.
Think and Grow Rich.
Yeah.
I love it.
But what's his first rule?
Oh,
do you remember what his
man.
First rule?
You know, I read it.
You gotta love
high school.
It. No. You gotta love.
You gotta love it.
What you're doing. You gotta have a passion for it, because if you just do it for money, you're not gonna make it.
No.
I know. I made the same mistake when I was working at Warner Brothers Studios. I was looking at some other businesses to have on the side to supplement. And I really did it for the money. I wasn't greedy. I just wanted something to supplement in case something happens and I want to do it.
Right.
But I never was successful at it because I didn't like it.
Right.
It wasn't me.
Right.
So Napoleon Hill, right away, you got to have passion. So for an entrepreneur, and you're right, it is being your own owner. It's being your own boss. You've got to create it, develop it, distribute it. There's a lot of, you have your flexible, but then if it doesn't work, then you got to take the hit for it.
Absolutely.
But I'm going to give you another definition.
Okay.
Now, this is the definition I like because I had a teacher that told me everybody's an entrepreneur.
Mm.
Whether you are developing your own business or you are working. She says you're all entrepreneurs. You have to have your career, regardless of what you're doing, in charge.
Right.
My mistake, and a lot of baby boomers were a mistake, and that was just the way we were raised because of the times.
Right. Okay.
Is that you put your career into a corporation's hands.
Right.
They're going to take care of you.
Right.
And we talked about this when you came on my show.
Totally. Yes.
Well,
yes.
That's completely, we know, that's out of the window.
Right.
Now,
right.
That for baby boomers, when you're that way, you know, you're 30 years old, you're in your 50s, 30 years later, rather, you work for 30 years, all of a sudden, what you believe doesn't exist.
Has just been flipped upside down.
Exactly. So you're going, whoa, okay, now what?
You're,
so your whole mindset is tweaked out. But here's one, and I'll let tell me what you think.
Yeah,
now, this
please.
Is from Professor Howard Stevenson.
Okay.
He's the godfather of entrepreneurship studies at Harvard Business School.
Oh, okay.
According to Stevenson, entrepreneurship is the pursuit of opportunity beyond resources controlled.
Wow. Okay.
So it doesn't really matter. So even if you're in any environment, you're never going to have the resources enough to do your job.
Right.
So you've got to come, you've got to be inventive, you've got to be creative, opportunistic at all times, whether you are working for yourself or someone else. See, my college professor said that when I took a career management. She was teaching in Burbank. I talk about this with Dr. Virginia Green.
Okay.
She was talking about social media. And the first question she said, how many of you think you are entrepreneurs? And everybody's kind of looking at each other. Okay, I've got to answer this question. If I don't get it right, she's going to hit me. She says, all of you should be raising your hands because you're entrepreneurs. Mm. That's why I wanted to bring it in.
No, I love it.
Because with the show, there are some baby boomers that maybe having their own business is not what their thing is. They may still be in their job.
Right.
There are industries that still look at experienced workers being viable.
Right.
If that's great. Good, but with the changing technology, you're going to have to tweak.
Yes.
So in my, you know, in my site there on LA Talk Radio,
absolutely, yeah.
I say just not reinventing it, but if you are looking to reinvent or tweak what you're doing.
Yes.
Sometimes you lose your mojo. Mm-hmm. I know about a couple of years before I got laid off at Warner Brothers, my passion was out the window. I was just on automatic pilot.
Totally. Like you have to be after something. You know what I mean? After you know, you've put so much trust, you put so much will and time, energy, everything, you know, into this corporation, into this company, and they literally pull the rug out from under your feet.
Well, even before, it's like a marriage. You go through a marriage for long, like the 7-year itch or 10. If you don't start putting something into it, you got to overwhelm the mundane of it.
Right.
You know, and that was my mistake. I'm not going to sit here and make excuses and blame. I'm grateful for them because they gave me training and everything in the pensions. They were very good to me. I needed to really put my career in my hands.
Right.
And unfortunately, unfortunately, so you know, a lot of us didn't. We were in that mindset with our World War II parents, depression, that was our parents. Go and get your college education because of the post-World War II boom. Go out and then you go to a corporation, work 30 years, get the gold watch, and you're ready to retire with the pensions and the IRAs and all of that.
Right, totally.
Well, boom, run comes.
Right.
And now we really, it's like, okay, everything is upside down, inside out, and on my head.
Totally. Oh, man. That's it's so like, okay, my question
totally
for you.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, I grew up with that. That was what our thing.
I love it. Paula, I have a question. Do you mind just repeating that definition one more time that the Harvard professor
this
said?
This is Professor Howard Stevenson. He's the godfather.
Okay.
The entrepreneurship is the pursuit of opportunity beyond resources controlled.
I love that. Entrepreneurship is
the pursuit
of opportunity beyond resources control.
Because even in a company, company, or anywhere you go, you're not going to have all of the resources for you to do your job.
Right.
You do have to be innovative and creative when you work for a company. Because they do. They would come to us and say, any way to streamline the procedures, any way to sell, you things change, so you have to tweak it. This isn't working. And when I saw that to me is the broad perspective that I want to reach out on my show, my mission is when I reinvented myself using communication.
Totally.
I love communication.
Right.
I have loved film. We're the first TV generation. So yes, I love storytelling. It's just all of these are apparatuses to get it, including radio.
Yeah.
Now, I never thought of radio. I fell into this because I did public speaking for Toastmasters. And that's another thing I want to plug in.
That's cool.
If everybody out there, you want to improve your speaking, you want to be successful and deal if there's an awkwardness, both professional and personal, go to Toastmasters. They're great.
Really?
They're great.
Toastmasters.
Toastmasters has been around almost 100 years.
Wow.
And it's very cost effective.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah, they do. And it teaches leadership track as well as presentation.
Very cool.
And there's a lot of different levels. You got the club level, the district level. They have workshops. They got great people coming in.
Wow.
Not necessarily, they are professional speakers that come in and are aligned with the organization. It's a nonprofit. Right. I would not be doing this. If you told me, Dave, I'd be doing this 20, 30 years ago, especially when I was in college, I said, you'd be out of your freaking mind. There's no way I would avoid public speaking like the bubonic plague. When
That's
I was in college,
funny.
I had to take speaking was one of the areas, you know,
okay.
I got a degree.
One of the prerequisites,
Yeah, you have your different levels
right,
when you're
right.
in college. You have, you know, your biologies and all of that. And one was language or something. I forgot what
right.
category. And either take public speaking or semantics. I took semantics.
Oh, yeah. You're so funny.
No speeches for me. No.
Why? Well, my have the tables turned. No, if
yes,
I have
they
the,
have.
That's
God,
cool.
I just, no. Oh, man, it was.
Well,
and I can tell you something. This is so funny.
No,
tell
yeah,
somebody
yeah.
this. I don't mean to interrupt.
No, not at all.
I'm on a roll here.
I love it.
I can't remember because I've been in Toastmasters since the 80s. And I can't remember what was the catalyst who brought me in. I was talking about that.
Okay.
And so I said, I can't tell you. I just know I started when I lived in San Diego. I came to L.A. in 86. I can't remember who got me in.
Really?
Something must have been inside, deep in my subconscious. You're going to have to do something, Paula.
Yeah.
Because I was shy, introverted, and it's very debilitating. You can't move forward. You can't succeed.
Wow.
If you don't get up and speak
wow.
and start presentation because that's
totally.
How people see you
right
you
that's
know,
how you get yeah that's how you get yourself heard of
yeah,
course
right
yeah.
And well presentations you go into interviews
right.
if you want to succeed you're going to have to improve your presentation and people's
exactly.
perception of you because
exactly.
the first thing they're going to see is that first minute or 30 seconds or whatever
exactly and you know being on the receiving end right if you're the one watching the individual going up giving the presentation and we'll take two different or the same person two different scenarios right you take one person that's giving a presentation and they go hi my name is
yeah, yeah.
you know the receiver with that specific example you know is obviously going to be turned off to the idea turned off to not even if and it's so funny somebody can have an amazing idea but present it improperly
right.
and it won't give it justice at all. People won't take a second look because
right.
of how it was presented. Or you can have an okay idea that with a great presenter, with a guy that just blows it out of the water, you know, so, well, this is what I'm doing and blah, blah, and then, you know, who's on top of it and knows what he's talking about and everything. And, you know, you could fool someone into, you know, making it sound smart. You know what I mean? It's not about fooling someone. But what I'm saying is really it's all about how you present it,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
It's I would say it's...
People make your judgment of
yeah.
you in the first minute.
They do.
Whether you're
oh, yeah.
interviewing or whether it's personal.
Right, right.
So... if you right. come off bad, your first impression,
totally.
It's going to take you a lot of times before they can come back, before you can get them back on your side.
It's true. It's
so
true.
Just, I don't know if you know that there used to be a survey on what was the biggest fear.
Mm. Okay.
The biggest fear was to speak in public.
Public
the second,
speaking.
Do you know what the second was?
Death?
Was yes.
Death? yeah.
You got it.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, this Seinfeld. Jerry had a great monologue in a show about this.
That's
it was
great.
So funny. In his old show, he used to have a monologue about a eulogy at a funeral.
Okay.
And he said, you know, most of the people would rather be in the casket than doing in the eulogy. Now, this is how bad it is for people to get up and talk.
Wow.
And I was the same way. But I have an introverted personality.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I really do. I'm private. But you have to get out and talk and if you want to have a life.
Right, of course, yeah.
You got
to be
speak.
A member of society.
But there is such a strange thing that right. if you talk, you're going to die. That's right. actually in the head.
Right.
And that was in me. I'm going to die. And I realized after I did my first speech, which I had my cards in my hand. I did on fear. I remember that.
I can see it.
I had my mouth had so many cotton balls, and I was so dry. But there was a group of people. I said, my God, there's people out there staring at me. And yeah. I just stayed with it and got through the first one. But once you do that and keep doing it, you realize, no, the world didn't end.
Right.
And I didn't die, and
right.
I don't have a disease. And actually people came up and say, wow, Paula, that was nice.
Totally.
You start to discover a part of you that has been dormant.
Yes.
Everybody has a creativity in them.
Yes. And Paula, you know, actually, one of the things that we really stress on the Vibration Station is the more outside of your comfort zone you go, the more outside of your little comfort box, the more comfortable person you actually become.
And also you will surprise yourself.
Oh, yeah, absolutely you
because
will.
Because you have to, everything's a risk.
It is.
If you don't risk, if you're not making mistakes, you're not living.
You're not living.
No.
I
no.
agree.
Because I've read a lot of successful businessmen, and you'd be surprised how many have failed. They're
wow.
millionaires. They've lost about 2-3 million before they succeed.
Wow.
We always see the end result.
Right, right.
And they said the big thing they said, I wish I made more mistakes. Mm-hmm. That's the way I know I'm succeeding.
Really?
You know, and that was
like
an education.
That.
You know,
that's cool.
You know. But there's also something I use, and I was used this last Sunday on my show, is Babe Ruth, if you're a baseball person,
okay.
I love baseball. That's my
Excellent.
Number one sport, and then college football.
Very
so,
cool.
If you're football fans, I'm sorry. I was raised in a baseball family. I love college football, but baseball is number one.
For me. I dig it. I was raised in a baseball family as well, so that works.
So Babe Ruth was the huge home run king until Hank Aaron broke it in 74.
Okay.
Now, he hits, I think it was 713 home runs in his lifetime.
Oh.
But
oh, wow.
for he was a big strikeout king. So he struck out about 1,300 times.
Oh, wow.
So he struck out twice as much, which means he never made contact with the ball when you strike out. So he was a big hitter. He was a big strikeout king. A lot of motivators to help people deal with going through obstacles, especially
right.
when you start a business. Mm. It's not going to come to you. You've got to look at the fact that you're going to strike out before you hit those home runs.
Yes.
We always see the end result. We don't see what these people go through in the process.
It's so true.
That's why I like to profile people on my show who have reinvent them, but even young people who
right.
are out there. I'm trying to bridge both.
Totally.
That come on and this is what I did. I want them to talk about their journey
right.
so that people can be inspired, say, you know, okay, I'm going to go ahead and do it. Because experiences
yes.
are very, very good at helping you. There are times you think, this is LA Talk Radio, so I'll say it.
Right.
Screw it. I don't care. Yeah. I'm just going to, you know, cash your thing and take my car
yeah.
and live on a
yeah.
shack on a beach.
Totally.
I'm getting tired of this.
Totally.
But when you listen to experiences like the Babe Ruth thing or somebody had to play in tennis, had to hit the ball 10,000 times
right.
to get it over here,
totally.
They go, okay, this is what I need. If I really want, this is where the passion has to come in. If I really want to do it, because there are days that Mr. Murphy or your negative, your negativity comes in, your evil twin comes in, as
right.
it's called. I'm a Buddhist and that's what we call it.
The evil twin
comes in and says, what are you doing?
You
should be practical.
Yeah.
Don't, you know, just it's keep true. Going and clock time and taking
right.
oxygen and that's it. You
Absolutely.
Know, and then you die.
Absolutely.
You know, don't find a meaning, you know,
right.
don't, you need to find what you love. It's hard. It's tough out there.
It's true.
But
it's true.
You have to have that. You lose the passion. You just run around numb and the depression starts.
Oh, it's so true. It's so true. And, you know, another aspect of it is even if it does take, you know, 1,300 strikeouts, do you know what I'm saying? You can't let those strikeouts determine your home runs, right?
Yeah.
So, metaphorically, obviously. But, like, what I'm saying is, you know, if you have a passion, everybody knows that little fire that burns inside of them. If you have that passion for something and you know this is what you're here to do. This is what you want to do. You want to start this. And it doesn't all, you know, blossom and bloom how you first imagined it. The worst possible thing that you could ever do to yourself is have that define the rest of your experience, the rest of your entrepreneurship road, if you will. The, you know, because if you let the downfalls get you down before you even give yourself an opportunity to grow, then you're, you know, why even start?
Well, I think also your mistakes. Yeah. I found my mistakes. I learned more than my successes.
Oh, of course.
And it sounds like a cliche, but it's very, very true.
It is so true.
But I think the problem is, Dave, when you get to a certain age, when you're young, when I was your age too, like 23 out of college, I thought, 30, 40 years looks like a long ways away.
Wow.
And it goes a hell of a lot fast. The problem with baby boomers is if the rug has been pulled out and they've got to reinvent, you don't really have 30 years to do it.
Right.
And that's where mentally the anguish and the anxiety comes in, because I'm not 23.
Right.
I've got a lot of life.
Totally.
And I've been beaten up, so you have the scars. You got to overcome that.
Wow.
You're a little more optimistic at 23. But not, I shouldn't say you shouldn't be optimistic. It's just you've been beaten up. It's like going back to the baseball. Have you ever been in, tried to hit and get hit side of the head?
Ugh.
Or you get hit with a ball, you're a little hesitant in getting into that box.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the same thing. Keep getting hit. I'm a little bit hesitant to go in. So when I got laid off, I was 52, going on 53, and
you look amazing, Paula.
Well, thank you.
You absolutely look absolutely amazing. I'd say 40 years old.
Oh, thank you.
Seriously, you look
amazing. Oh, you're so sweet.
It's
true. God,
go on. I just didn't mean to
interrupt. No, that's okay. It's a lot of. I was telling you before the show that someone had mentioned to me when we were a couple months ago. I had a guest on. She had saw a. Newspaper article that baby boomers, there's a high rate of suicide.
Okay. I want to hear more about this.
And the reason I had talked to my brother, who's a baby boomer too, and we got into this, and he had mentioned that we did raise the bar awfully high for ourselves because of the post-World War II. And if anybody doesn't know what a baby boomer, it's the people born between 46 and 64.
Right, right.
We're 77 right. to 80 million of the population in the United States.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. We're the largest population. Wow.
That's why this matters so much. This might have such an effect.
Yeah. It does, because baby boomers have reshaped American society.
Totally.
And won't until you reshape it until the last one is gone.
Right.
And even after then, it will radically change. Once the baby boomers are gone, it's going to change America completely, too. And I say it's positive and negative. It's just the way things are. The sheer numbers, we change society.
Right.
But it's kind of interesting as to why this is happening. I think I understand it. This is not the way we wanted it. There's a lot of times when I'm going through this and reinventing and I'm walking around, I go, this is not where I want to be at this age.
Right.
Starting over. I wanted to start looking, retiring, because next June of 2014 would have been 25 years.
Wow.
And that's what I, at Warner Brothers, and that's what I was shooting for. I wanted to travel.
Yeah.
I wanted to do more outreach. I wasn't going to retire.
Right.
I was going to work because I was still too young. I was going to do something a little different, more community outreach, something a little more viable in the community.
Okay.
I'm not saying that what I did wasn't, because I got in an income and I would give to charities, but it wasn't really reaching out to the community. People are doing some fantastic things, and I really wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And that's what, I have a financial advisor. We were working.
Right.
You're doing real good.
Yeah.
Boom! And I think, a lot of boomers, why the anxiety is, then you're seeing your nest egg, a lot of them just shrinking.
Right.
Because they have to use it to reinvent. It's hard to start over.
Right.
With that mindset.
I could imagine. I mean, I couldn't imagine. I could, but I couldn't. Like, I mean, that must have been such a detrimental experience, right? Such to literally, like, you put your life. You know what I'm saying? You put everything you've worked for. I'm sure, you along with a good amount of the other boomers as well. You know what I'm saying? They set into something. And I know from, people in my family and whatnot, that, there's been a few people that have been with companies their whole lives,
right? 30, 40 years.
30, 40 years. And my aunt, and, she was with this company for, that's like 30 years. one day, out of nowhere, literally out of nowhere,
yeah,
they just sorry, we're trimming,
yeah,
we're cutting down.
Yeah. No, there's no warning.
There's no. But the thing about it is ethically, morally, that is so wrong.
Yeah.
That is so unbelievably wrong. Yeah. To expect a person to walk away from that without any, you know, damage or any corrosion, you know, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
They can't expect you to do that. So what, from my personal experience with my family member, she was devastated.
Okay.
She, you know, she couldn't get out of bed. Because
yeah.
she didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
She
yeah.
like, you know, we, you know, we got her a therapist, and, you know, she, you know, talked to her. Paula, it's so funny. It's like a marriage, right?
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. You're it absolutely
is.
Right.
It is. No, it is.
You're
because you put it in. We, baby, the whole idea with baby boomers were very aggressive or very career ambitious.
Okay. Right. Absolutely.
Incredibly
ambitious. Yeah.
And I've studied different generations. It's interesting, you know, with millennium, your generation, because this is going to affect young generation.
Totally.
It's affecting the young generation in the sense that baby boomers now may not retire. If they do have their jobs, they're going to hang on. So it's making it hard
right.
for the young generation.
Mm.
Because I think all of us wanted to say, okay, we're going to pass the baton on to you
right.
guys.
Right. Of course.
And the whole thinking of for me, too, is you in a company or an organization, you want a mixture of experienced workers or experienced members, whether it's Toastmasters. But what's going to keep your club or your company or organization alive is young people coming in.
Mm.
They're the new blood.
Yes.
But you need people to help them.
Right.
You know, so you have that mixture.
Right.
And I, you know, to me, if I didn't have people say, well, we like your skills. We like you, Paula. We're going to take a chance.
Yeah.
I don't see that. And I'm wondering, with not being going in the job market, I'm not seeing this. I
right.
don't know if your generation, and we talked about this when you came on my show, if they're seeing the same thing where it's just, they just throw you in and it's sink or swim.
You know.
There's nobody, is anybody helping them? It's just, you got to hit, you know, hit the ground and run. Is that pretty much?
Paula, you're absolutely right. And you bring up a really amazing point, too. Is when a kid or a child, whatever, the younger, right, generation.
Millennium babies.
Yes, thank you. Perfect.
You're millennium babies.
Exactly. The millennium babies. When
they keep changing it. I don't know, but that's the last one I know.
I feel like they're always, we're the microwave generation, and we're the, you know, we're all the.
I don't know. They keep expanding and contracting. I don't know what they.
Well, we just keep doing things. We just keep changing it up. No, but no, you bring up a really phenomenal point, because, you know, for a kid with a passion to really pursue a dream and to really be successful in that dream, if you think about it, one of the only ways that that's going to happen is if they have wings to fly under first, is if they have somebody that is willing to put themselves on the line for the potential that they see in this other individual, in this kid. And they get that in their head. They're like, okay, well, you know, obviously, you know, I've had my run. I want to pass the baton. I want to pass the information down. And Paula, there's really not a lot of that. I'll tell you from my personal experiences, I've been in multiple jobs. I've had friends that have graduated college, right? Graduated college, gotten their degree, ready to sit down and ready to really get into it and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And one of two things happens.
Mm-hmm.
They either can't get a job.
Right.
Or two, if they do get a job, Paula, it's sink or swim.
Yeah.
I can't, and I'll tell you, I can't tell you how many of my friends have gone to school, have gotten a job, and have tried to swim. You know, in these large firms, these big firms and these corporations, and, you know, and they, what are you supposed to do? You're 23-year-old kid right out of school, 22-year-old kid right out of school. And, you know, I'm sure that on an individual scale, there absolutely is, you know, people out there that are willing to put a hand on a kid's back and help them out and show them the ropes. But really, I feel like it should be a standard. I feel like that should almost be part of the contract, you know? It's like, okay, I'm agreeing to pursue the passion that I see in you. In our contract, I will take what I believe I can give you, right, and aid and assist you in any way I can. If that was in writing, you know, if that was like, if that was maybe not even writing, if you know, if it was just a morally accepted idea in when a kid comes into a new job that or career, not job, just above broke, no, just over broke, we're talking career, right? Yeah. That's what we need. You're absolutely right.
Well, I think what's happening with corporations is the bottom line is always, it's always money.
Right, of course.
Okay, so you're getting rid of experienced workers. There's more, every time I go in and network on this, that's what's happening. That's why entrepreneurship is growing tremendously.
Right.
Because there doesn't seem to be an option for even a lot of people, both my generation, due to, we talked about this when you came on, where we're reinventing, right, where you guys have to invent. So right, my advice
right
for your generation is when you're in college and school, start researching companies you would like to work for.
Mm.
Entrepreneurship is
that's
about
smart.
You
that's
need to be in control of your career.
Yes.
That doesn't mean you don't go in and work for someone else, put your 100% in, but always think of the next level.
Right.
Do not do, we can't, those days are gone. And we talked about this before, of
right
my generation of finding a company, and they actually did take care of you.
Right.
When we got out of college, we had a lot more opportunity. I've talked to people your generation and then people who got out of college with a bachelor's or a master's degree,
right,
and these companies offered all these packages, and you got into corporate, and they would actually have an apprenticeship or whatever.
Really?
Got into. Not so much. They offered opportunities, and you hit the ground running.
That's great.
In the companies, they did offer a great package for you starting out. I've listened to other people. I don't have a master's. I've listened to people with IT. Or of my age, or were engineers, or they got into certain even DWP.
Mm.
And I listened to what was offered to them when they graduated in the 80s or in the late 70s.
Wow.
Poor kids now don't have that
because right
that's not what corporations are after.
Right.
What I think is going to fill that is the entrepreneurship. It's growing to where that is going to be the community is going to be the innovation. The renovation
yes
of it.
Yes.
To do that.
Yes.
So for kids out there and for yes any of you, you need to have your career in your hands.
Yeah.
You're not going to sit, and I'm sure you guys know that it isn't like, all right, you're going to sit there 5, 6, 20, 30 years. There's just no way that's going to happen.
Right. Right.
But it's to research companies, and you can, especially online now, and this was told me, of companies that really, and there are corporations, you just have to do the research. Who do care about their employees?
Right.
And there are industries.
There are.
So, and obviously, though, if you need a job, you need a job. Just go and do the job, but constantly keep looking 5 steps down the road.
Right, right.
And an entrepreneur, like we said, we go back to you need to be inventive and creative.
You do.
You are an entrepreneur, whether you want to work for, you want to create your own.
Right.
If you find your passion is a viable market, if it's a viable product or service that will be marketable.
Yes.
Okay. But if you want to work for someone else, which is still very viable, you need to be in charge of your own career.
You do.
You work for them.
You're
loyal. Do the best you can. You want to leave, not burning any bridges.
Of course. Yeah.
Listen to Aunt Paula.
That's a big one. Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Listen. But always, don't do what I did. Don't pour all your eggs in one basket.
Mm.
Always be inventive. You've got a great system now, which we didn't have 30 years ago, which is the internet, where you can do tons of research with your finger.
Yes.
We didn't have.
So true.
So you got to keep doing that
right
for your career.
And, you know, Paula, I wanted to bring up something else is having the internet, right? That in itself opens up a whole new aspect, a whole new dimension of entrepreneurship, right? With, you know, people are multi-millionaires from sitting at their computer all day.
Well, they have article, what was it, the babies under 40 that were millionaire, the baby millionaires.
Right.
There
right
was on the baby millionaires. So yeah, they understand. With my generation, all of a sudden like your aunt.
Right.
Or your aunt.
Right.
Your aunt.
My aunt. So it doesn't matter.
It was hard for her, and I understand it because the digital technology went so fast.
Yeah.
It went fast. That's why I called it Don't Get Left in the Dust in the beginning, because a friend of mine, actually it was an acquaintance of mine, said this. Both of us got laid off at the same time. We're the first wave at Warner Brothers. And he says, you know, the young people really are wired into the digital technology, and they're going to leave us in the dust. And that's how it got.
Okay.
So I did I thought that was a good way to start it, but it's a general, as I stated before earlier, why I changed it, just to streamline it a little bit. It's still helping those baby boomers that the digital technology can give you opportunity now in your second half.
Yes, yes.
That you don't have to, if you have a passion. The fear is they're so far behind, they're never going to catch up. Mm. Well, you never are.
Right.
Just learn the best you can. And there are sites out there to help. You know, the one woman I had, I'm hoping to have her, it's CyberWise, helps, calls Leave No Adult Behind, and it has to do with the digital world. And there's there are people there. Also with my show, the primary is to help baby boomers have a successful second act like myself when you have to reinvent, and even if they're tweaking in their position. But I also am open to all entrepreneurs, young people, having young baby boomers' children to help them come to the light and not be scared of digital.
Yeah.
If you come into that helping, they can help you with the digital.
It's true.
Know? And you don't have to know everything. I think the fear is knowing everything, but there's so much opportunity that you could be your own boss.
Right.
You don't need all this heavy brick and mortar now.
Right.
I know some people are just frustrated. It's not so much being laid off, but they're just kind of frustrated with the bureaucracy, which it is. Our corporations or our institutions are bureaucratic. And after a while, you get a little burned out.
Of course. Yeah, of course.
No, yeah.
It's inevitable. No, Paula, would you say that one of the biggest issues right now, you know, after what we were just talking about, how baby boomers seem to be one of the largest percentage of suicides right now?
Well, I don't know if it's the largest, but it's awfully high.
Awfully high.
Yeah, the article came out a couple of months ago. I didn't read it, though, but there was an increase of, of suicide.
Yeah. Do you think, having said that, that a big problem in, I guess, today's society is that the boomers are having a difficult time brushing their shoulders off? Do you think?
You know, it's hard, I think.
Like you said, like getting hit with the ball and coming back up to the bat. Because that's everything.
Yeah.
That's everything. Getting back in the game, you know?
Yeah, it is. A lot of it is a mindset,
it has
too.
To be. Right.
It's hard. I didn't read the whole detailed article. I think a lot of it, again, the anxiety, it is hard. You're young, so you come back faster when you're young. It's very hard to explain this.
Okay.
My grandmother, I used to watch her, and if there's any changes, this is when she was a senior citizen, would have a hard time dealing with simple changes. I go, what the heck? I was young.
Right.
What the heck are you? This doesn't count. So I think a lot of it is definitely, it is hard, as I said before.
Dave. Right, right.
For some are doing really well and bouncing back, but you also, if financially you've gotten wiped out, we're talking a nest egg that could be between $200,000 to $300,000 that I've built for 30 years, and all of a sudden I'm wiped out.
Wow.
You don't have 30 years to get that back.
You don't.
So that's like, shit.
Right. Totally. Yeah.
You know, and it does, the depression comes, I can do that. So you don't, when you're older, for some of us, it is hard. As I said, this is not where I wanted to be.
Right.
And I'm not 23 anymore.
Right.
You know, I'm young inside. It doesn't mean, young doesn't mean that you don't want to embrace life or changes, but I wanted to be somewhere else.
Totally.
Reinventing at 52 was hard.
I could imagine.
When you're 20, you bounce back better. It's not an excuse.
No,
don't get me wrong.
Totally not.
I'm not trying to excuse you. You're absolutely right. You got to keep bouncing back until the last breath of your life.
But it's,
and that's what youth is. But there is, I have to admit, honestly, with myself reinventing, this. There are times when I walk around and I've been, you know, the last two and a half, three years of trying to get back on track. I go, there are moments, damn, this is not where I want to be. And as my 25th anniversary would have come, it would have been nice if I could have reached that, get a nice retirement package, and to do a smoother transition.
Right.
It is, for me at least, right, at the age, compared to when I was thinking at 23 and 30.
Right.
I bounced back faster.
Right. Totally.
Because it's, my mother said this when I got laid off. My mother's 82 now. The first thing she said when I told her I was laid off is, well, what about your age, Paula, getting back in? And this is an 80-year-old. And I said, Mom, I know, I hear you, I agree with you, but I can't let that get me down.
Right.
I got to survive.
That's great.
I got to continue with my life. But it is, Dave, it is hard. The old saying, don't judge me until you walk a mile in my shoes.
Yes.
I didn't understand my grandmother. I do understand her now.
Yes.
That doesn't mean that I don't accept it. It's just harder.
Totally.
You're just.
Oh yeah.
I just wish this is not what I want. I want to travel.
Right.
I worked hard for 30 years.
Yeah.
I was doing so. This is the conversation in the head.
Okay.
I was doing so well with my retirement.
Right.
I had my plans, and I understand this is life. I understand that, but still.
Still.
You can't just bounce back that fast. When
you
you're
don't.
Young. Yeah, you can bounce back. Hey, I'm ready to go. Absolutely. I thought I could. I didn't worry about anything at 23 and 25 and 30.
Totally.
I really didn't.
And
now you're going, oh crap.
Right.
You know, my body, my body. I just have to take care of it.
Right.
But it does wear out.
Right.
So your health is going to be a little bit more.
Totally.
And that is coming from the companies too. You can kind of understand it. It is a prejudice. But in some ways, they're right. From their perspective, an older worker is going to need more medical care.
That's true. But where's the line drawn? You know,
but if you take care of yourself, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
Because I'm pretty healthy. I've never had any really health issues. But it is, your body is a shell.
Yeah.
It's an organic machine, it starts wearing down.
Right. Right.
And you look, you know, the interesting thing is you look at it, and you look at the number, I'll be 57 in less than 2 months. And I go, well, I don't feel that way. Because 57 in my parents' age, they looked old.
Yeah.
Baby boomers are not going to do that.
No.
They're not going to put the bun in the hair and the orthopedic shoes.
Uh-uh.
They're going to go toward the facelifts and everything.
Yeah,
they're not going to do it.
Totally.
They want to look the way they feel.
Right.
I say, I look like the way I did 30 years ago.
Yeah.
That's the way I feel, really.
Right.
With a brain of 45 plus.
Right.
But there is that experience of that I don't want to start all over.
Of course.
So it sounds complicated, but that's just the way it is. But you're right. You have to bounce back. It's part of life. But it's harder when you're older.
Yes.
You don't move fast. I don't get up off the floor as easy. My body aches a little bit more.
No,
you know,
get out of here, Paula.
Yeah.
No, I'm messing with you. Well, what I wanted to say was, you know, also, when you're young, you haven't had a relationship for 30 years.
No.
Do you know what I'm saying?
No.
When you're young, so, you know, for me, for example, to come on and be like, snap out of it. I would never say that. But what I'm saying is, you know, if I were to say, like, you know, if for a young person to come on 20s, whatever, say, oh, you know, let's just get back on the horse, get back. You know, what am I talking about? I haven't been in a company for 30 years. I haven't had a relationship for 30 years. And then out of nowhere.
Like your aunt. Yeah.
Yeah. Out of nowhere, have the rug pulled. And my aunt's a wonderful woman. She's a super happy, super on top of it. Great, great mind, great everything. You know, joker. She's a great woman. Wonderful woman. And like all of a sudden, it's a complete 180. It's a complete 180.
Well, you know, the other thing too, Dave, is your pride is wounded.
Right. Oh.
You know, because when I tried to get back in, my thing was
that is huge.
Just temp.
Yeah.
I thought, and I wasn't getting temp jobs. I was interviewing for $10 an hour at temp jobs, and some of them I was the only one over 25.
Wow.
And you're not getting the job.
Totally.
So your pride is wounded because you have this experience. You have the passion, and you're fairly healthy. You're
right.
Healthy, really.
Right.
You're very healthy.
Right.
And you go, I've got something to offer here.
Yeah.
You know.
Wow. Paula, I want to thank you so very much for coming on the Vibration Station.
Oh, thank you. I enjoyed it.
It has been such
it.
A pleasure. Listeners, you cannot miss Second Act Boomers. It's on right after me.
Yes. And we're going to be talking about business plans, marketing. So if you have a business you're thinking about, business plans are very, very important with Kavanaugh Gray from Entrepreneur Cafe.
Wonderful. Entrepreneur Cafe. Thank you guys so much for tuning into the Vibration Station. As you know, we send you unconditional love, light, happiness, joy, and laughter from our beautiful spaceship studio in Sherman Oaks. I'm messing with you guys. You guys have a wonderful, blessed Sunday filled with light and happiness. We'll see you next week. Make sure to check out Second Act Boomers with Paula. Thank you so much. Bye.
This experience is such a blessing. Motherfucker, stop asking questions. Your soul knows that this defeats the purpose. Close your eyes and let me be your wordsmith. Listen up, y'all, I missed